Last time I began to speak about the matter of intercession, and I spent a long time. In fact, last week's message was over an hour and a half, which is beyond our time limit. But what I was trying to do was to get a good foundation so that we'll understand what we are trying to do. Let me just review for a minute or so the things that I said. One, I explained the principle of... I said there are three things, all right, that affect the things that occur on the earth. Number one, we said, is the will or the purpose of God. And we said eventually that one will come to pass. But we said that at each point in time, there are two other factors. And one is the behavior of the people that tabernacle or dwell on the earth. And each person may find the will of God, even though it is the will and the purpose of God, not being fulfilled in a generation of might find that is not fulfilled in their lives because they did not receive that word. All right? I said that the will of God, the word of God must be activated. And we said the third thing is the prayers of people. All right? And that's where we introduce the principle of remnant. Or, you see, as many as people are on this earth, it is not everybody. Now, this is very interesting. When I say this, you say, what do you mean? It's just the way it is. It is not everybody that is important in determining what's happening on the earth. That's a matter of fact. If you read my tract, are we all equal before God? That's what I try to explain there. All right. So amongst the multitudes, you will find a few people that are very important. God will create famine. There may be 100 people there. All right. And whether there will be famine or no famine will depend on what 3 or 4 people are really doing. Even though the 100 people may, their spirit, that is what they are releasing into the environment, is causing effect. But there are few people that are so important, and their own spirits are so strong, that if they move one way, they are strong enough to turn the event in their own direction, so that the decadence of, let's say, the other 97 may only be significant in that they are negligent in doing their duties. What I mean is this. You remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? That will help me explain it. Why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Now, you can look at it different ways. You can say because of the iniquity in the land. Would that be correct? Yeah, answer me. There's no trick to it. Would that be correct?
Yes.
Yeah, it would be correct. You can say because the Bible says that they were sexually, there was a lot of perversion amongst them, and that would be correct. And that's a sign of godlessness, all right? If you see, read the Bible well, you also find that was not the only thing they did. They were not hospitable to strangers. Actually, strangers were in trouble with them. But apart from that, they did not help the needy. Now, these are all the things that made the land, all right, set up for destruction. But if you check it critically, the reason the land was destroyed was not because of that. It was because of the absence of 10 righteous people. Are you getting my point? That is, yes, all those things activated evil against them. But the real precipitating factor was that they didn't have enough people to balance the other, push in the other direction, the judgment that would have come upon them. So if they had, let's say, 11 righteous people, Sodom and Gomorrah would have survived for a while. Can you see that? Now you see that 10 people were more important than all the multitudes in those. There were about 5 cities, actually, all right? The major ones were Sodom and Gomorrah. There were other towns around who were all destroyed at the same time. Yet, the main reason they were destroyed was not because of their sins. It was because of the absence of the critical mass of righteous people that God would have found, and because of them would have overlooked, all right, the iniquity that was in the land. And I just said, okay, for now, let me just suspend judgment. Let's see what these people can do. So that's what I was trying to say, that when I mean that the prayers of the people, I don't mean the prayers of everybody. Somebody is committing iniquity. He's not planning to pray. I don't know what I hear what I said. Yeah, these are not what we're talking about. But in the midst of everything, there will be people. And that's what the Bible calls, well, we use different words for them. They are the people of God. They are the remnant of God. They are the salt of the earth. They are the light of the world. They are not the majority in the place, but they are the ones that matter. And that's why, that was why when Jesus came, he said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. That is, you are the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah will not be destroyed. You understand what I'm saying? You are the reason why God will look and say, all right, let's give Sodom and Gomorrah another chance. Now, let's get to today. You are the reason why God will look at Nigeria and say Nigeria will prosper. It is not because all the politicians repented and they stopped doing evil. So if you are waiting for, you know, people will look at the country and say, look, what these politicians are doing, this country is finished. They forget that what finishes the country is not what the politicians are doing. It's what we, that you and me, are doing or not doing. If we join the politicians, that is when Nigeria is bad. If you join the average man on the road, I'm not saying join politics, though. You understand what I'm saying? Join politics is not the same. Amen? In fact, it's a necessary thing. You must, for those who are so-called. They must. But I'm saying that if we join the evil that's in the land, that is when the land really has a problem. It's not when a sinner is sinning. A sinner is supposed to sin. If he doesn't sin, he's no longer a sinner. That is why he has never made news that an allergic married a third wife. Have you ever heard the news? But let a pastor get his second wife. Front page. And that is good and correct. Allergic can marry five. Nothing spoiled. But God said, I won't judge or unjudge the earth because of him. Now, but when pastor now marries two, just two. Two is only one beyond the accepted. Are you getting my point? I mean, if I came here one day, say, praise God, I'm inviting all of you. You know, the following week, nobody will show. In fact, someone will come and check whether God has destroyed him. They'll just come at the door. Is he still there? And it's right. That's the way it's supposed to be. And it's good. It's not double standard. That's godly. That is scriptural. Because there are people that God said, these are the ones that are my people. Like he says that. They are the salt of the earth. They are the ones that must be different. Are you getting my point? Yes. And that's, see, let me tell you the truth. People say, if you can't beat them, hey, don't be disappointed. Don't be discouraged. Are you getting my point? It's important, though. You must never be discouraged. That you have not joined, that's all God is saying. That's the reason why he will have mercy. It's important you understand that. It is not because we have preached everybody has repented. If God walked into Sodom and Gomorrah and found 20 hot, vibrant, righteous people. And let me tell you something. When he's talking about that, he didn't expect them to be fantastically righteous. I pray you understand what I'm saying. If you look at some of it, in fact, let me not talk about that. He was just saying somebody will stand. And when everybody's going this way, he said no. If they're all sharing the money, say, I'm not taking. If everybody's defrauding, say, I don't want to participate. Hey, what is it? Are you the only righteous person? What's your problem? Why are you complaining? Have I complained about the one you are doing? God didn't mean somebody who will go and be fighting. Nobody will steal money in this office. You know, some those Christians behave funny, you know. When they don't know what righteousness means. You're not the office. Listen, I'm a child of God, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in this office, all of you should just forget this nonsense you are doing. Listen, unless you are in charge. What did I say?
Unless you are in charge.
Like now, in my office, I am in charge. So I can put some laws down. Yes, I can, because I'm in charge in some areas. So everybody knows. When you get there, I'll look at you and say, oh boy, you said 37,000 for this. I'm aware that it's supposed to be 15,000. I'll return the paper to you. But let's assume I'm not in charge, and two guys are there sharing the money. What you can do is to talk to each person and share the word of God. But nobody has sent you as EFCC. What I'm going to explain, what God demands is you don't participate. That's what they say. You enter the office, everybody must know that when they are sharing such monies, you will never take. And if they ask you to come and testify, you will testify. So anybody who doesn't want to testify should do it behind your back. You're not going to participate in any way. Everybody will know. That's what the Bible calls righteous in that setting. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? All right. So God was just saying that if I get to Sodom and Gomorrah, let me just see 10 people who will say this thing is wrong and therefore we refuse to participate. But you couldn't find. God just, the main thing he's asking us to do is to be different. Are you getting my point? Yes, our Christianity, all right, must show. And not for show's sake. You know, no, I mean, I'm not talking about you want to show. You just want to show. No. That the idea is that it's part of you, so it reflects, all right? Now, so don't forget, the main reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed was not because of their sins, but because of the absence of righteous people. So when people look at Nigeria, let's get back to it. I was talking about that. They're looking at any nation, and they say, ah, listen, look at what is going on. In fact, this country is dead. This country is finished. This country can never prosper. Why do you say so? Look at what's happening in the federal government. Why do you say so? Look at what's happening in the state government. Why are you talking like this? Look at what's happening in the local government. Look at what's happening in the police. That's true. Those things cause problems. But there's another side to it. God has come down from the heavens. Can he count enough righteous people? Remember, I started by trying to review that there are three things. The third thing is the prayer of those righteous people. That is very crucial. It is very crucial. Their prayers do a number of things. One of them, it brings down judgment upon the wicked. Are you getting my point? That's one of the things he does. He brings down prosperity upon the land, even though the land doesn't actually by itself deserve it. That's another thing he does. But very importantly, bear in mind, he brings forth judgment upon the wicked. Now, those are the three things that determine what's going on in this world. We'll talk about that last time. But I now said to you that the last one is the one we want to talk about in this series. All right? Remember, the last portion of the things I said, listen, this world is trial. Everything is on trial. Are you getting my point? And God is a judge. God is a judge. I gave Adolf Hitler as an example that he did not have the power to kill anybody except that the spirits that wanted to destroy the Jews and destroy many of the Europeans, the spirit went up before the throne of God and began to make, the opposite of intercession. That's what the Bible calls accusations. It began to bring forth accusations. And God had no choice because he is the judge. He had to issue forth his decree. And because of the decree he issued forth, problems began on this earth. And the only way you can reverse that issue is to go back and appeal that judgment. Are you getting my point? And when you appeal, you bring, and it's not just desire. It's an argument. It's a court. Are you getting me? It's a court. First, you must have the locus standi, the right to stand and pray. It's very important. You must have the right to be in that courtroom to bring forth your arguments and your pleadings. Like that's what lawyers say. Otherwise, you are what the lawyers call a meddlesome interloper. Any lawyer here? It don't concern you. Are you getting my point? You don't know anybody in Bolivia. You are there saying that the war in Bolivia should not continue. What's your problem? You don't know anybody there. God has not given you any revelation, no passion, nothing. Because you're reading the news and you just think it's not good. It's just not good. You understand my point? It's not your country, but you don't think it's good. Nobody will answer you. That's just the point I'm trying to make. They won't punish you. But what will happen is that they won't answer you. They will not answer you. All right? Intercession must be made by those who have a connection. I don't know what I would discuss it last time. But did I read from that scripture that's talking about the heartfelt prayer of a righteous man? Okay, that was, you said 2 weeks ago. Okay, yes. Okay, avails much, yes. All right? Okay, 2 weeks ago. I explained it then that there's what the Bible calls a heart, the effectual fervent prayer. King James says, all right, in the book of James, of a righteous man avails much. That word, heart fervent, means heartfelt, something that touches the person, all right? Now, that's what we're talking about. It's when those people begin to make their intercessions and their pleading before God that God begins to reverse the situation. Now, let's get practical now to our current day, Nigeria or any country. So whoever is listening to this, all right, is in. Now, the things that are happening in the country, I said last time, let me just really remind us of this. I said there are two sides, so there are the intercessors and there are accusers. And that this, remember I said that the whole of life is trial, is argument, all right? Remember, we said this before, again and again. The weapon in the realm of the spirit, all right? We use words. Remember that? I said it's a battle of words. That life is what? A battle of words. That you're always speaking, you're always uttering things. And heaven is always uttering things. And that is what is deciding what is happening at the particular point in time. So when we go before the judgment throne of God also, we take with us words. That's what the Bible said. You take with you words, all right? And those words, there are two sides to it. One, the first thing that they must be founded upon the revelation of the word of God. Now, what happens is that those who are the people of God, like I mentioned, those who are the remnants of God, those who are the elect of God, whichever way we want to use for that minority in that place, all right? They can be a majority at a particular point in time. I'm just saying that even though they're a minority, those people will take words, all right? What do we mean by words? The word of God. The things that they have read from the scriptures as the desire of God. The things they have read from the word of God as the will of God. They take those things, add it to their passion. Add it to the knowledge. Now, we're talking in these days after Jesus Christ had come, all right, and died for us. They add it to the knowledge of what Jesus did on the cross, and they begin to utter those things without wavering. That is the important thing. What Satan tries to do is to discourage them. Now, I've now joined with where we ended last time, all right? So they become accusers with Satan because they watch the news so much, they now feel like God can't do anything about the situation. Things are so bad now. Things are so bad. Look at how these politicians have ruined everything. Then I start issuing forth accusations against the land. Unfortunately, now don't forget this. When God comes, he's watching out for those righteous people. So when he listens to their words and their words have joined the side of the accusers, then there's a problem. Then there's no hope for the land. Do you understand my point? Remember, what sealed Sodom and Gomorrah's fate was not their sin. What sealed their fate was the absence, let me use the word now, of intercessors. What sealed the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah was that they could not find 10 righteous people in the place. That is, they were not up to 10 people who were standing up every day saying that what is going on in this land, we don't like it. They were not up to 10 people, all right, let's add more words to it now, who were standing up and saying, God, have mercy upon the land. Even though Abraham, all right, came at the time and prayed for the land, what God did was, okay, the one that concerns you is Lot. Is that not so? All right, so God took Lot out and gave Lot to him. But no, that's very important. That's very important. When God saw, because there's a demonstration in it, when God demonstrated to Abraham that this place couldn't be saved, and the way by which he demonstrated it was that he showed him that the 10 people that even he, Abraham, understood was enough to have mercy on the place, they could not be found. So what he did was just simply take the people that concerned Abraham, those who he really had the local standing, all right, to pray for. He now took them and gave them to him. Took them and Lot and his family and everybody there who wanted to be delivered. You know what I'm saying? Because Lot's wife refused to be delivered. Now, this is the practical aspect of it. In our country today, in any country you are in, once you have an attachment to that land, and how God gives an attachment, there are many ways. But first and foremost is that you call it your country. You were born there. Your parents are from there. Your brothers and sisters are from there. That is where, you know, you are tied. And there's something that ties people to a land. And that is a matter of fact. You've heard your brothers, cousins, you know, uncles who live abroad. I've never met one. Okay, no, I've met one. No, I've never met one. That one too, I think, has repented. Who did not want to come back home? No, what I'm telling you is not a joke. I have friends, people I know very well, in many places. Of course, for us Nigerians today, most of those such places are United States and UK, all right? Everyone I know, the only one I've heard that even said differently was years ago. And I'm fairly certain that individual has changed her mind as at now. I've never met one person, apart from that one that I'm questioning, who did not wish they could come back home. None. And that is a matter of fact. Some have said that, look, I'm just waiting to do this and do this. Once I finish doing all of this, then I will come back. Some have lamented, I wish I could come back. I'm thinking of a number of them in my head right now. They are saying that there's no way I can grow old in this place. So that's just the way it is. How God achieved that, long story, I'm not very sure. But the point is that you see that people have a passion for a particular place. It gives them a local standing to speak about those places. That's what I'm trying to explain. All right? So God has planted it here, a place you have attachment for. Then it is now your duty to start controlling the things that occur in that place. I'm not talking now about there's a series I taught on radio then, which I called Generating Spiritual Energy for the Redemption of a Nation. No, that's a different matter. But I'm just talking now about prayer. Last time I did all the explanation I did, all right? I did all that explaining. So let us understand that this is crucial. That without your prayer, you'll be shocked that even though God has a will, that will is not executed on this earth. When I was teaching that message, poor Jonah, that was what I tried to explain. I call it activating prophecies by prayer. The word has gone forth. It's a fight. Let me just say it again. It's a fight. What did I say? What did I say?
It's a fight.
I didn't hear you.
It's a fight.
That this is struggle. We wrestle. That's what the Bible says. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. All right? But it's a wrestling. That's what I want you to understand. One of the things that's important for the righteous people to do is that they must never change their mind. But let's read this scripture. It will help us. Let me just read this. Isaiah chapter 62. Let me read from verse 6. You know, God said, "On your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen. All day and all night, they will never keep silent." He said, "You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give him no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth." Now, let me read that one from the Message Bible. He said, "I have posted watchmen on your walls, Jerusalem. Day and night, they keep at it, praying, calling out, reminding God to remember." Said they are to give him no peace until he does what he said, until he makes Jerusalem famous as the city of praise. Please notice the way he used the expression. Day and night they keep at it, praying. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to get tired or not to be discouraged or not to faint. You remember what I said? Those things are never said except that there is a temptation to get tired. Those things are never said except there is a temptation to be discouraged. What happens is that when men begin to pray, when people begin to pray, all right, sometimes it appears like what they are praying for has not yet happened. But listen, what happens, let me just say this, is that the prayer is being measured. What did I say? What did I say? Yes, it's being measured. I don't know how, of course, nobody knows everything, all right? I don't know everything. I don't know exactly how God measures it, but it's being measured. What it means is that don't get discouraged. You're about to put in the last prayer that will break the camel's back. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? That is, you don't know exactly when it will be, but one thing is certain, it's going to be one day. Sometimes, you are adding to the prayer some people prayed long ago. You know, I said to you before, people say that Yonggi Cho, he learned how to build a 1 million man church. I don't know how many there are now in that church. So they want to start. People now take trips to Seoul, Korea, South Korea, to go and learn how to do it. One day I read very well. I found that Yonggi Cho doesn't know as much as you think in building a 1 million man church. As a bank, what are you saying? I'll give you what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, other men labored, and Yonggi Cho entered into their labor. I don't know whether you caught that. Now, you don't know when the labor started. Let's say Paul planted, Jin Jong Kwan planted. Who's Jin Jong Kwan? I don't know. But one man who lived 50 years before Yonggi Cho planted. Apollos watered. Kim Lee watered. Then God gave the increase. But in the time of harvest, he said, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. That is, there is what to do in the time of harvest. So Jesus said, Kim Gom Jong Kwam planted, Kim Sum Tum Lee, you know, watered. Now, time for harvest. I gave the increase, and I sent Yonggi Cho in to go and take in the harvest. You know what Jesus said? The harvest is plentiful. Not the sowing time, but the laborers are few. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send in laborers into that harvest. Those ones are coming in to harvest. Many people are in the land where God said, go and sow and water. They are going to Yonggi Cho to learn the principle of harvest. And they get frustrated. They need to go to where people are plowing. Are you getting my point? Where they are breaking dry ground. They need to go to the place where you pray water out of heaven to come and water the ground. You are joining a man who is in time of harvest. Now, please, I'm not being specific about Yonggi Cho now. I'm just giving as an example. You understand? So that you understand the principle. That sometimes the prayers were prayed before you were born. But God says it's not enough. More prayer needs to be said. My emphasis again today is that you must not be discouraged. And one of the weapons of the people of God is persistence. It's one of the weapons. That these people tell you that in that time in this country, in 1960, it was like this. Things were very, very ordered. And that time, you know, they start speaking. Then once they start talking, you will realize why it was like that. The accent alone will tell you. They were taught by the British. I don't know whether you follow what I'm saying. Yes, now, they were taught by the British. The accent will let you know. Which means that we're using the momentum of the blessing that God gave the British. That was what ordered the society. The society in this country has never, hear ye my word though, which is the word of God. It has never been ordered. What did I say? You're not persuaded. What was ordered before was British society. You are following what I'm saying? It was the queen that was ordered. The queen and her people, they were the ones ordered. They came to Nigeria and set us in order. And the momentum, all right, after they left, carried us for a while. Then we can't begin to show true color. You know the way we say it? Show me your true color. We began to show true color. Men have been chopping money in this country for a long time. I hope you know that. Yes. For a very long time. Before the Civil War, they were eating money. It's just that time, because the white people had gone, the British had gone, time now allowed our wickedness to manifest. That the truth is that it is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Because his compassion doesn't fail. But God has been good. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
And in his goodness, he has been teaching us things. We have been improving. And I'm telling you, we have been improving. Let nobody lie to you that we are getting worse. We are not. The truth is that we are improving. The truth is that we are getting blessed. You must understand that bad news is the only thing that makes news. And that's why you only hear the bad news as long as you are getting your news from the normal media. Good news does not make news. All right? There are good people out there. Let me just tell you that. I feel like dropping that one. There are men who believe that every girl there is a bad girl. It's a lie. Ladies, let's leave this guy. Let's talk to them. It's a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
It's a lie. What did I say?
It's a lie.
Look at all the single people, though. Those of us who are married, we know. I'm just trying to help all of you who are still single. Are you single too? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I see many of them here. It is a lie. They are very good people, all right? Still available to be married. Be it unto you according to your faith. If you go around and say that I'm very, 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 very bad, useless. The day you find a good one, you find that it's a Jezebel that wore paint. You have to, no, listen, I know I'm digressing. You have to activate your heart to receive good things. All right? Don't go around the world just looking at everybody with one kind of telescope. See, wicked soul coming to church. Don't do that. It's not good for you. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. And ladies, there are good men there. Amen?
Amen.
Why are you saying amen? What do you concern you? Are you one of the ladies? Okay, he's saying there's a good man, all right? He's a good man, amen?
Amen.
So there are good men out there that hear an amen. It's important we bear that in mind. These things, they matter, you know. They're inside our hearts, and it's affecting what comes to us or what we don't get. It's very important. So that's why I like to drop things like that. So back to my message. So you see, bad news is what makes news in the world. So oftentimes, that's how we get discouraged. That's how we get discouraged. But my message again is that we must be persistent in knowing that good is coming to the land because of you. Now, don't forget that. I'm not saying that good is natural. We are saying that if we, the people of God, demand good, good will come. We are saying that God always requires an excuse, a reason to bless a land. That is why he planted you here. A lot of people are looking for the land that is good. No, you were sent, all right, to this earth to give God a cause to bless the land. Let me tell you something in case you don't know it. You see all these fine roads in Enugu? You see all these fine roads in Enugu? Just watch. It will soon extend from here all the way to Onitsha. Join the one from Asabatu, Benin. Then from this side to Port Harcourt. Everyone that touches Enugu, the road go good. Do you know why? That's what I want to tell you now. Because in the year 2000, I came to Enugu. And I began to preach and I began to prophesy. Therefore, this land is responding.
Amen.
I said, therefore, this land is responding.
Amen.
Watch it. Over the next few years, you will find out that one of the best power stations in Nigeria will be somewhere within 20 kilometers from where I'm standing here.
Amen.
I'm telling you, power stations. That is, from here, all we will do is export power. Be given other states. You want some power, take. It will happen in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who's going to do it? What matters is as long as I remain here and I'm preaching that word, this land will respond to the power of that word.
Amen.
Yeah, we have to pray for the rest of Nigeria. Otherwise, I will have driven all the criminals to the neighboring states. So, as long as we continue to utter the word. Look, listen, I know what I'm telling you. See, you think you have seen good roads. Better, see, ShopRite is nice, isn't it nice? Sweeter and better things will come to this city.
Amen.
Why? Because when the word grows, it prevails. Are you getting my point? Yes, and invokes and attracts good things into the land. Don't forget what I'm trying to explain. The remnants, the people of God, their duty is to call good into the land. Their prayers, all right? It is the absence of it and the absence of those people that pronounces a judgment or pronounces judgment and a curse upon the land, not the evil that the people in the land themselves are doing, even though that may start it. But if you and I are there and we remain there and we don't change our minds, we don't let anybody come and tell us a country is finished, the country is finished. No, if you see me, that's one area I don't keep quiet. I've never been able to keep quiet. If somebody's cursing himself, saying, in fact, I'm a useless person, I'm going to die, the evil will perform me. I just shrug my shoulder, I walk out. But once you mention country, where I did, listen, I have never been able to be quiet, whether you are old or you are young. My wife still remember the day. I think it was her mother and us were talking. And she was into politics, that's what was going on. Argument that deal. I said, Mommy, lie, I won't agree. This country, I said, lie, I won't agree. I know that one, I won't keep quiet. Tell me, but these politicians are useless, they're going to finish this country. I said, they can't finish this country. They will finish themselves, they will finish their children. You understand my point? They will finish their own property, they will become poor, they will be broke, they will hang, but this country will not finish. Yes. That one will keep on declaring it. That Boko Haram is invading the land. We have invaded Boko Haram.
Amen.
They will rot from inside.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There was indignation for a while. You never look at evil that's going on and because of that pronounced judgment. No. Your words are necessary to put an end to evil. Do you follow my point? You don't cooperate with Satan. This country is dead. The country is not dead. What did I say?
It
can't die. Are you dead? Am I dead?
No.
How can the country I live in be dead? If you wanted to die before, it's too late. Like I say all the time, for the fact that we have declared the word of God upon this land, therefore, this is how the judgment throne of God is addressed. Lord, we have sowed the word into this land, and that word will grow and it will prevail. Let it be so in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's how you continue to declare. Somewhere shouts out, country is dead. Listen, I told you their words don't matter unless they are believers. It's very important too. Their words don't matter unless they are believers. So it's so important that you don't join them. It's so important that you, as a child of God, you don't join them. Don't forget what we started today with. Sodom and Gomorrah were not destroyed because of the sins of the Sodomites and the Gomorrahites. Is that one good? Anyway, you know what I mean. Those places were destroyed because of the absence of the righteous people. So we're talking about intercession also. It is not how much the negative people are speaking that matters. It is whether we are talking or we are not talking. So when we intercede for the land, that's what we mean. It's not just a it's not just a pastime, a Christian, you know, church activity. No, it's war. What did I call it? Let's talk about war briefly. The Lord is good. I called my friend in Sokoto today. And he said that Nigeria is at war, people don't know. He said they think it's just northeast. He said in 3 weeks they have not had light in Sokoto. 3 weeks. He said people think the war is just one side. He said, but it's not so. Yes, all the noise and all the activities on one side, but the effect is being felt everywhere. He said he hasn't had light in 3 weeks. Now, when he said Nigeria is at war, people don't know. I said, me, I know. Now, the reason why I know is because I've always had, you know, let me just tell you again, please. Don't talk like common men. You know, people on the streets who don't know anything. They are killing our village people. That I and they not. We will not agree. He's shouting like, let me not talk about what that sounds like. Anyway, they're talking like ignorant people. All you need to do is tune TV small and realize this is a global problem. It's a global problem. And for your information, if your brothers were not in the so-called north, they would have found that excuse. Okay, in Iraq, who is there? Is your cousin in Iraq? As I yesterday, the Sunnis are shouting, now we have to divide Iraq. Yes, that was the call as I yesterday. Because several bombs went off. I forgot how many scores of people were killed in the Sunni areas. And those guys are going to retaliate in the Shiite areas. Listen, my brethren, it's not a Nigerian problem. It has nothing to do with somebody who's in the north or who's in the south. It's a world war. You know, people say First World War came, Second World War came, and people said that there must be no other war. So they decided that they are going to start United Nations. United Nations started so that there will be no war again. You know, fella used to smoke a lot of wee-wee. You know that? They now sang a song. He said, waiting unite for United Nations. They listed about 10 countries, 5, of which they are at war. He said, Argentina and Great Britain, the time of Falkland War. He said, no, they did. He said, Iran and Iraq, are they not both members of United Nations? He said, what is United Now, the point I'm making is this. People thought, of course, they could, of course, forget that one. They can't prevent the war. They can't. But the most important I want to say is that they were waiting for the other kind of Second World War to begin. You know, that one is not going to begin. The new World War began. They didn't realize it had begun. If you go and check it, wars have always been clashes of ideologies. That's it. You will see, they tell you it's Nazism against the rest of maybe free Europe. Right now, you can see the ideology is about fundamental Islam against the rest of the world. What does that tell you? The Third World War has commenced. It's not being fought the way the former one was. It's being fought in different ways. All you need to do is watch, and you see the war all over the place. Even down to Uganda. It's there. When they attack Uganda, Museveni said, we're going to drive them back to the Middle East, where they came from. The man was very angry. At one African Union meeting. The point is that the war is everywhere. Some of my friends said that Nigeria is at war, people don't know. I said, me, I know. But what is my message this evening? The Bible says God makes wars cease. He does what? He makes wars cease. He's the one that does it. And victory in every battle is of the Lord. Go and read the Eric Prince on touching the world through prayers. I have the tape, Aggressive Prayer. He would describe how by, of course, he knew about himself, but I know the way God works. He picks people here and there, unites their prayer together. But the Eric Prince could tell his own testimony of how his prayer changed the course of the war in North Africa. When they prayed, the course of the war changed. So we see war in Nigeria, and don't think that it's just in one segment. Listen, it's a spiritual battle. Satan always looks for where to start first and starts pushing. All those evil spirits that are trying to destroy, they look for where to start and from there start pushing. And that's why you don't give them any room. You know, sometimes people forget. Then when they wake up, you know, this current onslaught that the Nigerian army is doing, that they say, okay, where are they based? Say, let's go to before. You just be patrolling Kano, patrolling Bauchi, patrolling Sokoto, patrolling everywhere, trying to stop the fight. He said, no. Where's the camp? They now start going to the camp. And that's why you find the French will come to Mali to come and fight. Not because of any other thing, that if you leave them in Mali, from there they spread. That was how they left them in Afghanistan. And they went and brought down Twin Towers in America, killing 3,000 people in one single incident. Are you getting my point? Because they had a place, so they said, no, right now we must not give you any resting place. And I'm happy Nigeria has taken that challenge also. We won't give you any resting place. There must be nowhere for you to rest. Be like vagabonds, running up and down. That's better. But what am I trying to explain? The fact that there is war. Some of my friends said this afternoon. I said, I know. But war is spiritually fought. What did I say? It's a spiritual fight. For the rest of the time we have, we are going to fight again for Nigeria. Let's rest on our feet. And anybody listening to this, you understand that that is how it is. War is spiritually fought. You don't just leave it thinking that Nigeria army is strong. Nobody is strong. Remember what I said? These are the points. One, when we're talking about war, it's not gone. You know, people go to church. You've been to churches like that ahead of them. They carry spiritual machine gun. And say, devil, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it doesn't work like that. If you go and check it, spiritual war, the people who fight the real actual battle are God's angels. That was how when Joshua was moving. Joshua encountered a man, and he said, you are on whose side? The man said, I am the captain of the host of the Lord, something like that. Yeah. Of the army of God. I said, that is the captain. They are the ones really fighting. What we do, really, as Christians, is we intercede. Are you getting my point? Now, physically, there are physical soldiers who fight. But victory is determined by the realm of the Spirit. And where we fight, remember what I said earlier, is before the judgment throne of God. We don't carry a gun and be aiming at the devil. Devil, I shoot you right now. One of my friends saw that in the church. Somebody was shooting a machine gun and recoiling. Obviously, I've watched films. Yes, now it's when you watch movies, you see things like that. The one I've seen, oh man, I saw a man of God really on TV, praying. I give the devil arm lock like this. Lock the devil's head in his armpit and elbow, and I began to point the devil. I saw this one. I saw it. Not that somebody told me he went somewhere and saw it. No. I beheld with my two eyes. Tell your neighbor it's not necessary. It's unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. Because the Bible said the weapons of our warfare are mighty. How? No, he said they are mighty. How? They are mighty. How? They are mighty. How? Through God. So our own fight is before the judgment throne of God. That is where we go to plead for mercy. And we start bringing forth arguments. What is the argument? You say we are the salt of the earth. That means this earth will be preserved. Therefore, I call upon preservation for my country. That's how Christians pray. He says, so mightily grew the world and prevailed. Lord, therefore, the world will prevail since we have been sowing it upon this land. That he said, I will not die but live. That I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How can I see goodness when you have destroyed the land? This is how we pray before God's judgment throne. we said to him, you said we should seek for the prosperity of that land that you have sent us into. Therefore, we come because of that word. And said, Lord, let peace be upon this land. You speak like this, say, Lord, every evildoer who will not come to repentance, let him be destroyed first. Why? Because the Bible says, one sinner destroys much good. So let him be destroyed first. Our weapons are mighty through God. We don't, you know, hear this portion say that, wake up at 2 a.m. That is when evil spirits are moving. Only a jobless man, jobless woman wakes up at 2 a.m. to be pursuing evil spirits that are moving. Even God does not stop Satan from moving. He asks questions, where are you coming from? He doesn't stop you from moving. He says, I'm coming from to and from here. What did you see in all your movements? If it's Christian, we'll stand there. You can't come here in the name of Jesus. You can't come. He said, let him pass. Is he disturbing you? Our weapons are mighty. How? How? So let's pray for our country. Especially because we know there is war. First of all, let's start with thanksgiving. Very important. Say, Lord, we thank you. I want you to begin. In fact, everybody repeat after me. Say, Lord, we thank you. Because it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Say, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Lord, we thank you. Because you have preserved this land. Lord, we thank you. Because this nation was created by you. Lord, we thank you. Because this nation exists by your word. And it exists for your purpose. And we declare as your people that that purpose will stand in the name of Jesus Christ. Now listen to this. Let me just quickly drop this, all right, to help us. I've heard this many times. But I've heard quotations from the mouth of where people talk about what Pi Elton, all right, talked about, a white man that moved to Nigeria long ago, all right, and influenced a lot of the men, big men of God, you know, in Nigeria today. People like, either directly or indirectly, people like Archbishop Benson Dawosa, E.A. Adeboye, the David Oyedepo, W.F. Kumuyi, they were influenced by him, either directly or indirectly. And his reason was that he saw a vision. I don't know which country it came from, whether it was UK or United States, but he saw a vision about the country, Nigeria. He parked and came and lived there till he died. And I always quote Reinhold Bonnke. He said, go and check the map of Africa. It's shaped like a gun. And the trigger. He said, check the country where the trigger is. I said, I believe it. Tell anybody, I believe it. Now let's pray again. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ,
we recognize
that this nation was not created by Lord Lugard.
We recognize
that this nation was not created by the British. But it was created by the will of God.
For his purpose.
Therefore, we declare, as the church of God, that purpose
will stand.
That nation will stand. That purpose will stand. And this nation will stand to fulfill the purpose of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, we thank you because Jesus came and he died. And by the shedding of his blood, he purged the sins of this land. We behold the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole country. And we have come to believe. And we know that mercy is our portion. Therefore, we stand before your throne again tonight and say, Lord, have mercy upon this land. In the name of Jesus Christ, we say, Lord, have mercy upon this land. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the blood of Jesus speak in its favor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we speak against every other blood that's calling for vengeance. We say, be silenced by the voice of the blood of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare prosperity upon this land. You know what he said? He said, ask God for, he said, seek the peace or prosperity of that country. God will not ask you to seek the peace of, to seek something he does not plan to give. I want to understand. Remember, I started by saying, don't say it's too much evil in this country. That's where it will be destroyed. No. It is absence of you and me that will cause it to be destroyed. And as long as you continue to rise up and utter words like this, listen to me, it won't be destroyed. I said to you before that prayer is measured. Go on, Revelations will tell you about the prayers of the saints being poured with incense. They measure it. That's why you can't afford to be discouraged. People have prayed before you, and their prayer has not been wasted. It's been kept, and God is waiting to add your own to it. Let me tell you the word of God. This country is a fine place. That's God's word, though. It's a fine place. I said it's a fine place.
Amen.
I said it's a fine place.
Amen.
Let's speak against this calamity that tried to come to the country again. Say, by if one of my friends said that Goliath was never called Goliath by David, they called him the uncircumcised Philistine. That no matter which name they call themselves, he's not calling them by it. He calls all of them agents of Satan. So let us say, Lord, every agent of Satan that seeks to... Look, let me just say everything, then you say it in your own words or repeat whatever it is that I said. You say to the Lord, say, every agent of Satan that seeks to destroy the good that you have planned for this country, we command them to be destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You say to the Lord, say, their purpose will not stand. Only the purpose of God will stand, because we have received mercy for this land. Say that in your own words. You can repeat what I have said, if you wish, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. There's one prayer I just feel that I just want us to pray, especially at a time like this. It's a very simple prayer. I just say, Lord, you know, I noticed when I read in the book of Revelation chapter 2 that Jesus was speaking and said that there is a place where Satan dwells, a physical place. He was talking about his faithful servant, Antipas, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. That there are people who live where, that is Satan, people have brought him there. He had tabernacled there. Are you getting my point? Let me just let you know, he's been uprooted from wherever he is in this country in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Very important. I want to realize that Satan, sometimes Christians want to gather, you know, join their hands and begin to say, where is he, where is he? Fight him. No. I found out that what actually drives him out is as we continually, two things we do. We continue to live our lives of righteousness. And we continue to utter the word of God and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I want to just pray a prayer. Say, Lord, preserve your saints, your servants that dwell in those places where Satan has a great influence. Very simple prayer. In a place like Maiduguri, with all the calamity going on, say, Lord, preserve your servants and your saints. Everywhere Satan has influence, where he seeks to destroy their lives, we are saying, let them not be destroyed. Let them be preserved. Let your angels surround them. Everywhere. Let's not just think it's just the northern part of Nigeria, even down in the south, wherever they are. Say, Lord, preserve them. Preserve your saints. Preserve your servants. Let that bomb not go off. Let that gun not work. In the name of Jesus, say to the Lord that you are the one that made the weapons. That is the smith that made the weapons. Therefore, according to your word, no weapon that is fashioned against them will prosper. In the name of Jesus, there are no weapon that is fashioned against them will prosper. The RPG will not prosper. The bomb will not prosper. In the name of Jesus, the gun will not prosper. The knife will not prosper. Because the word of God says, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, we condemn it in the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, all your saints and all your servants, preserve them in the name of Jesus. Keep them away from evil. Be the shield around them. Build a high wall around them. Be their strong tower. Be their defense. In the name of Jesus Christ, let those weapons aimed at the church of God not work. Let it blow up in the hearts of those who plan them. In the name of Jesus Christ, those who hate the Lord Jesus and are fighting against him, say, Lord, arise and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you, Lord, be destroyed. But let those who name the name of Christ, those who are his saints and those who are his servants, let them be preserved. Let no evil come upon them and their children and everything that is theirs. In the name of Jesus Christ, say, Lord, keep them in the time of your indignation. As you arise to destroy the wicked in the land, keep them in the time of your indignation. As you arise to purge the land of iniquity, preserve them at such times. Those who live where Satan dwells, Lord, have mercy upon them, and let your mighty angels who excel in strength, let them guard and protect them. As it is written, no evil shall befall them, neither will any plague come near their dwelling place. Frustrate the counsel of the ungodly in their lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. Let's just take one more prayer point, so, and then we'll close. I want us to pray for the church of God in Nigeria. It's very important. This one is very important. Darkness is only strong when light is withdrawn. If the church is strong, some of these problems will just disappear. And the strength of the church is not politics. You know, I always, when they say Khan made a statement, I get tired of all those Khan, you know, Khan, Christian Association of Nigeria. It's almost like a political party. No, I'm sorry. You know, do you know how I feel about it? People think that our strength is in, let's unite and form our own political party. I've heard people say, we'll not plant our own person in office. That's not how we reign. Are you getting my point? So we'll not gather and arrange and not plant our man in office. Oh, the men we plant, when they see money, all their sense will go back home and leave their body there. No, that's not, look, listen. That's not how we do our own thing. The weapon of the church is truth. The preaching of it. The living of it. That's all. The weapon, that's apart from prayer, which we are praying now. As a church, our weapon is the life of truth and the preaching of truth. That's what our weapon is. Therefore, let us pray a simple prayer for the church of God in Nigeria. By whatever name they are named. Whether they are Catholics, Anglican, you know, Deeper Life, Methodist, whatever it is, forget the denominational name. Now, once you call yourself a church, a real church, not those who are just arranging, you know, there are some babalawos. If I let all those babalawos be destroyed in Jesus' name,
amen.
Let the church building collapse, let the people scatter in the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
Let confusion come to their midst. Whatever name you name, once they are a church, are you getting my point? We are praying for you. That's what we are praying for right now. This is a prayer point. Say, Lord, let truth abound in your church, in this country, in the name of Jesus. It's a very simple prayer. Say it whichever word you want to use. Say, Lord, let truth abound in your church, in this country. So, Lord, we are asking that according to your word, you know what he said? I will give you pastors after my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. Say, Lord, send us ministers of truth. Give them a platform to speak. Build them up. Give them understanding.
Let light shine in this church in Nigeria again in the name of Jesus Christ. See, let us be filled with truth. Let's be filled with truth. Let us preach the truth. I don't have any other word to use. Just say, Lord, let your church be filled with truth. Say it. Say, Lord, we want Christ magnified. We want Christ magnified. We want Christ magnified in your church. We want Christ magnified in your church. We want Christ magnified in your church. We want Christ magnified in the church of God in this nation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, open the ears of your children to locate truth and go for it. Say, Lord, give them the boldness to stand for truth. Say, Lord, fill me. Ask for yourself. Fill me with your spirit so as to be able to declare your truth. That is a weapon of God. It's called the sword of the spirit. It is the word of God. Say, Lord, fill me and your church with the spirit so we can declare your truth with boldness. You know, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Pour your spirit upon your church again so that we might declare your truth, so that we might change our world by it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let us give the Lord thanks for today. Say, Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word. Lord, we thank you because you are blessing our nation. We thank you because you are the God that makes wars to cease. We thank you because you have destroyed evildoers. We thank you because our wars have ceased. We thank you because your people are protected. Even those who dwell in the place where Satan has his throne. Lord, we thank you because your angels are on guard, keeping them from all evil. Say, Lord, we thank you because your truth is prospering in your church. Lord, we thank you because your truth is prospering in my life. Lord, I thank you because you are filling me with your truth. Say, Lord, fill me with your truth. I receive it in the name of Jesus Christ. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I declare to you that goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Goodness will follow you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me tell you what mercy is. It means that when you make mistakes, God makes it look as if you did what is right. What he does is that he brings you correction. And the years that your mistakes took away from you, he restores them to you as if you never did anything wrong. In fact, as if you were moving at double the normal speed. That's the meaning of the word mercy. Mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I said mercy is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, there's what the Bible calls the power of his resurrection. That means that things that have died in your life, you tried the business, it died. You tried the relationship, it died. You tried the ministry, it died. You tried this and that. Sometimes they die because of your mistake. But this is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. From the midst of that death, life will come forth.
Amen.
That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Where you thought you made the mistake and you have lost, God said, just acknowledge your iniquity. After that, watch me restore the years that the locust ate. Watch me restore the years that tribulations took away from you. I will restore it to appear as if you were moving at double speed during that period. That is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I declare that you are forgiven.
Amen.
For loving Jesus Christ, all your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
You know, we're praying, I said we should learn to magnify Christ too. We don't do that enough. You should have, if we had done that, you will have understood. You will have understood that God is not holding anything against you again. He says that because you have believed, all your sins have been paid. Everything that was written against you has been wiped away because you believe. Therefore, I declare to you that you are free in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is a lie what they said to you, that you are being held down by your ancestral spirits. You are being held down by ancestral curses. You know, I say that all the time. It's such a strong thing that has a lot of people, but it's not true. I am telling you that you have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Therefore, freedom is your portion in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Listen, you will progress in this life.
Amen.
You will marry in this life.
Amen.
You will have good children in this life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will prosper in this your life.
Amen.
You will not die young.
Amen.
Let me say it to you again. Don't forget Angelina Jolie. You don't need to cut anything away from your body. No cancer will afflict you.
Amen.
Listen, you will live long.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every handwriting that's saying, speaking against you, saying that you will not live long, it has been canceled by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And I declare it canceled once again in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will not die young.
Amen.
You will not die young.
Amen.
I say you will not die young.
Amen.
The car that wanted to kill you just missed his way.
Amen.
He has gone in another direction.
Amen.
I'm serious. The bullet that was fired against you, that gun didn't work that day.
Amen.
It has dissolved.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Prosperity is your portion.
Amen.
Failure is not your portion.
Amen.
Prosperity is your portion.
Amen.
Where you failed before, you will return to that place triumphant in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your life will give God glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, your life will give God glory.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Somebody told that if you were in America, listen to me, God is able to make all grace abound to all, so that anywhere you are in, you will prosper there.
Amen.
He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards, notice that word, towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Therefore, I speak to you again that wherever you abide, there you will prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says that in all that he does, he prospers. If you are teaching primary school, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are teaching university, you will prosper.
Amen.
If you are selling books, you will prosper.
Amen.
This is going to sound funny. If you are reading books, you will prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatever you put your hands to do, will prosper.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me say it again. Failure is not your portion.
Amen.
Because Jesus died to set you free.
Amen.
Say, Father, I thank you. Just wave your hands to him and say, Lord, I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. General brethren,